unflattering picture of Hillary Clinton. And then something surprising happened. I guess it wasn't surprising that the candidates ganged up on her, but to me what was so surprising is that here the media, which had said, oh, she's unflappable, she's stony, she has no, you know, no emotion. Here, at the end of a difficult campaign, she shows a tiny little bit of emotion when asked a friendly question, and then they say, oh, well, you know, a tear, which wasn't even a tear if you saw it, that, oh, well, you know, this woman, she can't handle it. Even John Edwards was saying, well, she's unfit because she showed a little bit of emotion. And there was a backlash. The voters, the same voters who were upset in Iowa because the media had called Hillary the clear nominee and voted against the media and voted for Barack Obama. Now in New Hampshire, the media had said, well, Barack Obama's got it. And they voted against the media again. Women, particularly, turned out in massive numbers. And I think part of it was a backlash against those that would say that, oh, a candidate can't show any emotion. You can't have a woman run for president. Look, it's going to be a very close race. And I like that. And I'll tell you why. I think it's good for both candidates. It's good for Hillary Clinton. It's good for Barack Obama. Heck, it's even good for John Edwards because his message, and I think it's mostly a one-note message, but it's a very good note, a very important note about the power of corporations. They can continue for some time. But I think it's good for Barack Obama. I think it's good for him because he hasn't really been tested. I guarantee you the Republicans are going to be throwing everything in the kitchen sink at whoever is the Democratic nominee. And they've been doing that to Hillary Clinton for years and years and years and years. I mean, she has undergone all kinds of really unfair attacks. Remember, oh my God, she changed the travel agent at the White House. That was called Travelgate scandal. I mean, they tried everything against her. And she was prepared and I think ready to withstand the negative attacks. Barack Obama hasn't really been attacked yet. And I think I just assume it happened now. I just assume let the Republicans go out, put all their nastiness out now, and let him deal with it now so that he'll be prepared in November. Part of the problem with John Kerry in 04, I think, is that when they attacked his military service, when they brought in those terrific Swift boat ads, here defending a president who had basically deserted from the military, was AWOL because of his drug problem, and instead attacked a hero, John Kerry, he wasn't ready for it. He didn't expect it. So I think this is good in the sense that what it does is it gives a chance for people to look over Barack Obama, to kick the tires, as he put it, and to let him not just sort of waltz into victory, but let's test him out. And I want to hear from you as to why you like one candidate or another. I'll tell you, it was very, very interesting watching the divides in the electorate. There were many divides. One divide, of course, was men and women. Men went for Barack Obama. Women went for Hillary Clinton. Another divide was between young and old. You found that in Iowa, the dividing line was 60. Those over 60 voted for Hillary Clinton. Those younger than 60 voted for Barack Obama. In New Hampshire, the dividing line was 40. Those over 40 tended to vote for Hillary Clinton. Those under 40 tended to vote for Barack Obama. There wasn't much of a white-black divide because, frankly, there are not many African-Americans in Iowa or New Hampshire. I think that vote will come in later. But one thing that we've noted and that you have to note is the tremendous support Barack Obama got from white people. After all, they're the ones who can vote in Iowa and New Hampshire. And he, of course, has gotten tremendous support. People were calling him, you know, the John F. Kennedy of our generation. And I have to say, Barack Obama gives some of the most inspiring rhetoric. Frankly, he's even better than Bill Clinton, as far as I'm concerned, in the quality of his rhetoric. If you saw his speech last night, and he talked about pulling America together, and he invoked the memory of Martin Luther King, and he talked about how, I can't do him justice, no one can, but all the ways in which America could come together, do the right thing, yes, we can. But again, the differences, the rich and poor, for example, you found, interestingly, those that were more well-off were supporting Barack Obama. Those that were less well-off in the Democratic campaign were supporting Hillary Clinton. But again, my joy was watching all the pundits get it wrong. And there's something really wonderful when each one of them is already saying, well, the election's over. You know, no need to go out and vote, folks. And the voters are turning out in massive numbers and saying, heck, we haven't decided yet. So I want to tell you what I'm thinking about in determining my choice for a political candidate, and then I want to hear from you and find out who you want. And if you support a Republican, let me hear from you, too. There are Republicans who listen to WPFW, believe it or not. Let me know why you're supporting the person you are. But I'll tell you this. In my view, the most important thing, above all, for me, is to elect a Democrat in November. There's nothing of greater concern to me. If we have another Republican president, after 8 years of the lawlessness of George W. Bush, and that president were to appoint another Supreme Court justice, where you have so many rulings already determined, I mean, we already had a Supreme Court choose the President of the United States in 2000. We'd have another Supreme Court justice would overturn Roe v. Wade. Civil rights would be gone if we had another Republican justice. I want a Democrat elected in November. So I'll tell you what will convince me and what will decide when I pull the lever on February 12th. I want to know which Democrat can best beat the Republican. And I don't have an answer for that yet. I'll tell you something, though, that really appeals to me about Barack Obama. And that's the fact that he's drawing so many independents. That's right. Hillary Clinton's got strong support among Democrats. But Barack Obama is drawing out independents. And we need independent votes to win the election. And this is borne out in my, you know, anecdotal conversations with people who are not as strongly Democrats as I am. Many of them really like Barack Obama and really don't like Hillary Clinton. So if I'm convinced that Barack Obama is the best one to beat the Republican, you bet I'm going in there and I'm going to vote for Barack Obama. I'll tell you this, though. I hope that each of them consider the talents of each and every one of them. I hope if Hillary Clinton wins, she chooses Barack Obama as vice president. I hope if he wins, he chooses her as vice president. They're both very important people, and I'll tell you, I'm glad that they haven't attacked each other too fiercely. Because at the end of the day, whoever wins this Democratic nomination, and if it's John Edwards, I'm very happy with him. I like John Edwards. I want to make sure we all come together and vote for that person in November. So, who do you support? Why do you support that candidate? And how can you persuade me to pull the lever on February 12th? And by the way, the day after what they call the Chesapeake primary, the Virginia, D.C., and Maryland primaries on February 12th, I will be back on the air right here, WPFW, and we can talk about the results. Let's go to Tony. Tony, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
And Dialogue. I'm good. How are you? Who do you support?
Nice. My comment is this. I support Barack Obama, but I am concerned as to why is it that none of the candidates, Republicans or Democrats, ever explain why is it that approximately 4.5 million U.S. citizens of Puerto Rico, the U.S. Virgin Islands, Guam, American Samoa, and the Northern Marianas Islands, why is it that they are never, ever mentioned in presidential debates? Also, my next thing is, why is it that I am confused as to why do we go to the poll and cast our vote on the 4th of November 2008 when the President of the United States will actually be elected on January the 6th, 2009? And I'll take my comments off of the line. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your call, Tony. A couple things. First of all, in terms of the territories, they actually do have a vote in the primary process. I don't know if you're aware of that, but Puerto Rico, the Northern Marianas Islands, Guam, all of them do get to send delegates to the Democratic and Republican conventions. They are not, of course, part of the United States, so they don't get a vote in November. My real concern, frankly, sitting here in the District of Columbia, is with all due respect to Puerto Rico and Guam and all of that, like, the District of Columbia has a representation in Congress, and they are part of the United States. I mean, Puerto Rico, Guam, Marianas Islands, they don't have to pay American taxes. They're a commonwealth. Look, if they want to join the U.S., that's fine with me. Let them vote and do that. But I guess my first concern is D.C. statehood. After all, the people in the district do have to pay U.S. taxes. The D.C., of course, does get three electoral votes due to a constitutional amendment, by the way, in the presidential election. I think, though, that there is going to be a primary. I don't know when it is, I have to admit, in the territories. And certainly, at that time, voters will get a chance to push the candidates in that direction. As far as the election day, by the way, January 6th is, it's not even January 6th, the first Monday in January. That's when Congress comes back into session. The president is inaugurated until January 20th. And I don't have any problem with the fact that there's an election in November and there's a couple months before the president is inaugurated. I think those things take time. The president has to build his or her cabinet up. So I really don't have a problem with that. And it's interesting you support Barack Obama. I'd like to know, folks, why. When you call in, tell me why you support the candidate you do. Heck, help convince me, because I have a decision to make on February 12th. Let me go to Wayne. Wayne, welcome to Dialogue. Oh, excuse me. We have Terry. Terry, welcome to Dialogue.
Well, thank you, Wayne. How are you doing today? Happy New Year.
I'm good. My name is Mark, by the way. I was
calling for
Wayne because I thought Wayne was on the phone, but it's you, Terry.
Well, I haven't made up my mind like you.
Okay.
But you know what my biggest concern is? We're doing all this in-depth analysis of all these candidates, but my thing is, where is the trust? When I go behind that machine, I want to know that my vote is being counted. And after the last two elections we have, I know that that wasn't the case. So here we are again, and we can go over and over about who's the best, but what is going to happen when I get behind that booth? And
That's a great
Thank
question.
Thank you, and I'll hang up.
Thank you. Now, that's a terrific question. It's something I've been working on. In fact, it's what got me to Washington. I was a lawyer in California, in fact, in 2000. And then when the Supreme Court said, hey, we're not going to count the votes, we're just going to determine the President of the United States, that so radicalized me that I not only wrote the brief for the Congressional Black Caucus challenging the Florida electors, but I moved to Washington to try to do best I could to serve my country. It's a vital question, and I'm happy to report, Terry, that we're making progress on that, not making progress in the Iraq sense, but actually making progress. In 2004, it was a minority of the states that had paper records. Today, it's the majority. It's not all. So we haven't finished the job. It's about 35 states. But about 35 states now have paper records, which is the only way you can ensure that you don't have some Diebold engineer going in there and flipping the votes. So it's very, very important. There are a lot of bills that can fix this. The most likely to pass is Rush Holt's bill. He's a congressman, a Democratic congressman from New Jersey. And it's a very important bill. It's very, very important that your vote be counted. I didn't ask where you live, Terry, but whether you live in the district or Virginia or Maryland, you need to contact your local officials and make sure that, yes, there is a paper record of your ballot. Every ballot has to be counted. We can't go through another fiasco like we did in 2000. And heck, in 2004 as well. I mean, Ohio was enough for a Kerry victory, and Ohio had those, you know, snarky Diebold election machines. So it's no matter who you support in this election, Terry's absolutely right. We should all stand together and make sure that our votes are counted. Thank you for your call, Terry. Let's go to Mike. Mike, welcome to Dialogue.
Wow, great. Great show.
Thank you.
I think just to correct you, that you shouldn't say any one particular party should win. I think the candidates, that everybody should go out and look at their platforms. If you look at the platforms, you see how similar they all are. As you were saying, hopefully they work together. But they're very similar to the Republican Party as well. Everybody said anybody but Bush in the prior two elections, and you see what happens. I think we need to be focused, and we need to say what we're trying to get out of this. For example, our Constitution should be supported as is, not as written in 17, whatever, 80-something. Also, our president is elected by the Electoral College. It's not elected by your vote. I think you should go out and vote, have the pressure, but we should learn from other third world nations, how they call developing economies, to that the only way they could do this is if we sit by and let them do this. So everybody has to pay attention. You should go out and vote and see where we're going. I also think that the best thing that the Republicans want is to vote for Obama. I will vote for Obama because they're trying to get their racist base out to vote against him, as they did on that senator in Tennessee, you know, one woman called in. I think the best race would be for the candidates to combine and show a true unity party. But the most important thing is to get the Constitution working again, get the civil rights group working again, because there's a lot of terrorism going on in the United States. Absolutely not, Julie.
Well, okay. Mike, you've raised a lot of interesting issues, and I want to address each and every one of them. First of all, in terms of the Constitution, absolutely right. One of the things I do on my show is always carry a Constitution with me. And I think that the Constitution, frankly, even if we took it as written in 1787, that would be a lot better than we have this Bush administration, who's going around spying on Americans without a warrant, putting people in jail without trial, torturing people, all of which are already prohibited, even by our 200-year-old Constitution. You're absolutely actually right. It's the Electoral College that decides. I'm fully in favor of abolishing the Electoral College. The one thing, though, I want to take issue with you is the idea that the Democratic candidates are not so different from the Republicans. I got to tell you, I couldn't disagree more with you. I do think that there's not that much difference among the Democratic candidates. One of the reasons why I really would be happy with Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, John Edwards, Bill Richardson, they're actually not that different. They have slightly differences in their health care proposals, but all of them believe that more Americans should be covered by health care, more should have affordable health care. There's slight differences. They all want to get us home and out of the war in Iraq. That's leagues different from the Republicans. The Republicans were fighting with each other over how much more we could add to Guantanamo Bay, how much more we could torture people. The Democrats were on the flip side of that. Their differences, strong differences in immigration. Look, if you want to tell me there's not much difference between John Edwards and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama on policies, I'm going to agree with you. But if you tell me there's not much difference between Barack Obama and John McCain, or Huckabee, who doesn't believe in evolution, I couldn't disagree with you more. There are major differences between the parties, though I don't think there are big differences in the primary election. Frankly, if there were big differences, I'd have my decision made already, and I still don't know who I'm going to pull the lever for on February 12th. Let me go to Eric. Eric, welcome to Dialogue.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
I'm still making up my mind as well, but what I want to see is a candidate who is going to restore habeas corpus, support a plan to rebuild the cities in the United States. It's no accident that the right has gone after the New Deal programs of Roosevelt, calling them unconstitutional and everything else, because it's all they're pro-business. And, you know, take for instance Rudy Giuliani. For instance, he has said that he would nominate Janice Rogers Brown to the Supreme Court. This woman is to the right of Clarence Thomas.
Yes, she is.
We don't need to see someone like that. And we also have to be careful, too, because even with the Democratic administration, you've got to be careful that Obama, Clinton, and Edwards all come out of the Democratic Leadership Council camp. That is the right wing of the Democratic Party.
Does Obama come out of that camp?
Have appealed to some of the left in the party. The reality of the situation is this. Which one can best put forth actual policies that can be implemented to, one, get the and restore the economy? Right now, we're in a recession, and trust me, if Mitt Romney gets in office, he's a CEO, he comes from Bain Capital Partners. That's the hedge fund
right.
He started. Trust me, if you're working class and poor, you'll be poor when his term is ended.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of people, it's interesting the divide between young and old. Many of the people who are over 40, and certainly those who are over 60, remember the Clinton years, because during the Clinton years, yeah, the rich got richer, no question about it, but the middle class got richer and the poor got richer too. There was a drop in poverty. And I think many of those who are old enough to remember the Clinton years have voted for Hillary Clinton largely because of Bill Clinton's economic policies.
But here's the other thing about that. People need to be honest about Hillary Clinton. There is a serious concern within the party, across all lines in the party, about her electability.
Well, there is. It's my concern, too. I told you, I'm going to...
That plays upon the historical bias.
There's a concern about her and Barack Obama, which is so interesting.
It's based on race.
But see, here's the thing. Everyone is afraid. We'll find out, I guess, in November. Everyone is afraid that America is too sexist to allow a woman to be president and too racist to allow a black man to be president. And they say it openly. Usually they don't say it openly. Usually they say it in whispers because people don't want to admit that. And, you know, I say bring them together. I say whoever is the nominee, if it's Barack Obama, I hope he chooses Hillary as vice president. If it's Hillary Clinton, I hope she chooses Barack Obama as vice president. I think they've both shown tremendous potential. In fact, I think it would be great because I think Barack Obama is a far better speaker than Hillary Clinton. I think he really pulls to people's heartstrings and, you know, strings and our emotions and what we want is best for that country. And Hillary Clinton, she's the policy analyst. I mean, she's better than that than Barack Obama. She knows every detail of every bill and every, you know, way the government works. And that's a very useful thing in government, too. I hope they can work together. You know, as far as people being too sexist or racist, you know, look, I don't want anyone to vote for, say, John Edwards. And I like John Edwards, too. I like his anti-corporate stuff very much. But because they're afraid that America won't vote for a black man or a woman. If you believe that, and I'm not saying you're wrong, but if you believe that, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. There's always going to be racism. There's always going to be sexism in America. I don't think it's the majority of Americans. I think it's a significant minority. But if you don't vote for a woman or a black man because you're afraid of racism or sexism, then you yourself are contributing to the racism or sexism. So while I share your concern, I want to prove it wrong. And I think one of the things
right.
that...
Well, let me say this.
Yeah.
Let me say this, then. Fascism knows... does not know race nor gender, and we have equal amounts of that in both parties. I mean, if you listen to Ron Paul closely, you know, everybody talks about he's a Republican with a libertarian bent. If you dig deeper into who he is and where he has come from, even though he's been in Congress for 10 terms, the man at his core is a neo-Confederate and pro-secessionist.
Ron Paul was against the Civil Rights Act of 1964. I mean, Ron
yeah.
Paul, look, that's why these people that say there's no difference between the Democrats and Republicans, I couldn't disagree more. I say, what are you smoking? Because, you know, whatever you like about Ron Paul is against civil rights. No Republican, I'm sorry, no Republican would do as good as any Democrat. I will vote for any Democrat over any Republican in this race. And so, I absolutely agree with you. Thanks for your call. I do appreciate it. I need to move on. Let's go to Wayne. We finally got to you. Wayne, welcome to the Inside Scoop. Welcome to Dialogue.
How are you doing?
Doing
yes,
good. Is this Wayne, or did I get the
yes.
wrong person? Okay.
Yes, this is Wayne.
Okay, go ahead, Wayne.
Yeah. Hey, quite frankly, I like Dennis Kucinich
okay.
the most out of all the field.
Tell me why.
Democratic-wise, because the man has been against the war. He's been against the selling off of America, you know, by the bundles and everything, all along. He has been right all along, you know, but unfortunately...
Well, Barack Obama's been right all along against the war, hasn't he? What's the difference in your view?
I think Barack Obama is a very good guy, and I, you know, quite frankly, if he gets the nomination, I'm with him, you know, but I think... Kucinich is really, he's presented his desire to open the Department of Peace, you know, to instead of using, you know, bombs and boots to change minds, he wants to change their minds before bombs and boots are even considered, you know.
Wayne, let me ask you this.
I think he's a great guy.
Let me ask you this. I have a lot of respect for Dennis Kucinich. I agree with you. I think he's a great guy. In terms of my biggest concern and what will decide my vote on February 12th, I want to vote for the Democrat who will best beat the Republican, because as far as I'm concerned, the differences among the Democrats are far, far less than their differences from the Republican Party. Do you think that Dennis Kucinich could beat a Republican? That's my concern, honestly.
Nomination? Absolutely, because the Republicans, every one of them, are only speaking to a very narrow base. And I think he could, but then as far as electability, I think Edwards is you know, in my camp too, because he's supporting me. I'm a middle class working guy. I go to work every day. I work my butt off, and he wants to make sure that I am covered. Whatever happens, you know, if I get sick, I'm covered. If I lose my job for some reason, you know, I'm covered. If for some reason me as a middle class person, you know, I'm gonna get a fair shake. And I think Edwards is the guy who will do that. I don't know when it comes down to corporate dollars, one way or the other, that Hillary is going to have my back when it's my behind on the line.
Okay, I hear you, Wayne, and I appreciate your call. I'll tell you, I think she will. I think that, the differences, you know, Edwards, maybe more. I guess my dream, and I don't think it's so far from reality, is either Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton win the nomination, that they choose the other one for vice president, that you have John Edwards in charge of some cabinet department that deals with regulating corporations. We could have Joe Biden as Secretary of State. We could have Bill Richardson as maybe an ambassador to the United Nations or maybe a Commerce Secretary. I'd like to use them all. We could have Dennis Kucinich as a cabinet member of the new Department of Peace. I think as a team that all the candidates are good. And frankly, as a Democrat, I think we have an embarrassment of riches. I mean, in 2004, I supported Wesley Clark. I was not a big fan of John Kerry. A lot of times I've chosen, you know, the lesser of two evils. Not in this case. In my example, I will be choosing among many, many goods. And it's very interesting. The Republicans do not like their candidates, but we Democrats like ours, at least I do, and I'd like to see them all work together. But I got to make a decision February 12th, and you can help me decide. Let's go to Dominic. Dominic, welcome to Dialogue.
Yeah, if you vote for Hillary Clinton, you're going to vote in support of NAFTA. Do you support NAFTA?
Well, Bill Clinton supported NAFTA with reservations that he has admitted. I support NAFTA with reservations.
Do you support NAFTA?
Let me tell you the reservations. That one, environmental concerns, that we didn't have those. We needed a protocol in NAFTA to make sure that we're protecting against global warming and other environmental concerns. And the other is labor disparities, which is probably the bigger one.
Do you support NAFTA?
With those two reservations, which are pretty major reservations.
Well, I mean, NAFTA is going to hurt jobs in America. It's just what it's going to do. I mean, you either support NAFTA or you don't.
No, I think you could support NAFTA with reservations.
Well,
again, with those reservations, if you got to fix the labor disparities, right?
If you vote for Obama, you won't support NAFTA.
Well, like I said, you can't have products, in my view, that are bought because you've got kids working in Mexico for whatever a dollar an hour, and
well,
they undersell us.
I'm trying to get your vote. Do you support NAFTA or not?
I support NAFTA with two major reservations: one on the environment and one on labor. I haven't said I'm a Hillary guy.
Because Dennis Kucinich stands blankly against NAFTA.
Yeah. Well, I think
Hillary stands for it with reservations,
right,
just like you.
Right. Well, on that issue,
being an attorney from Washington D.C., I'm not surprised by that.
Okay. Well, on that particular view, on that particular issue, I support NAFTA with those reservations that I talked about.
How about regards to nepotism?
How do I feel about it? I got a problem with it. I got a problem with the fact
right,
that Hillary
is getting
power based on her husband. I do have a problem with that.
Exactly. And who's the candidate that will create another almost aristocratic family in the country?
You know, I don't know about that argument. The problem with that argument is that I look in the past, and we have had some very good presidents. You know, the Roosevelts, came from the same family, right? Teddy Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt. John F. Kennedy was a very rich person who I think did care about the poor.
Man, he almost got us blown up in the Bay Pigs.
I look at someone like Bill Clinton, who totally was raised from nothing. I mean, he had an alcoholic stepfather and was raised by a single mother, and he made it to be president of the United States, and I have a lot of respect for that. You know, and then we have George W.
Bush. And now he wants his wife president.
Right. But because he can't run again. Look, all those things to me are not the big issue that's going to decide my vote. What's going to decide my vote is who I think will both best beat the Republican. That's my
impression. Okay, who will beat the Republican?
I don't know.
Obama, because Obama can pull Republican votes.
Well, he can pull independent votes, and I'll tell you that.
He can pull Republican votes.
That I'm not sure about.
Well,
I know
I'm
he can pull independent
sure
votes, and that's a big thing. That may be why I pulled the lever for Barack Obama, because he can pull independent votes in a way that I haven't seen Hillary been able to do. And if he can pull those independent votes, then he can beat the Republican, and I'm going to go in on February 12th and vote for Barack Obama. The question for me about that, though, is whether when they attack him, and you know they're going to viciously attack him, and they're going to...
Who's going to attack him?
The Republicans are going to attack him. They're going to bring up that he was raised in Indonesia, and they've already brought up his middle name, and they're going to find anything they can to attack him.
Well, you believe Americans really care about that?
Do I believe Americans really care about that?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, I was surprised that John Kerry was swift-boated.
I don't think they do anymore.
I'll tell you, I was surprised that John Kerry could be swift-boated. I mean, here you have I don't remember any Purple Hearts and Silver Crosses that he won, but I was shocked that they could actually attack his military record.
Well, that's not why he lost.
I think it is. I think largely because he didn't respond to that.
Because people thought he was going to tax the hell out of him.
Well, they're going to say that about any Democratic nominee, right?
Now, the only two things Republicans are concerned about is defense and that the Democrats aren't going to tax the hell out of them.
Well, and they're going to say that about any Democrat. They've already said it about Barack Obama. They've said it about Hillary Clinton. They'll say it about John Edwards. I guarantee you they're going to say that about any Democrat who runs.
And well, why don't you believe them?
I don't believe them. I'm just concerned that others believe them. I don't believe them at all.
The population, not the candidate. I'm talking about the voters.
Right.
Republican voters are concerned about. They don't get taxed to hell, and there's a strong defense. That's it.
Well, that's it for Republicans. The question is what will be independent.
Where are the Democrats going to learn that?
I know that I think all three candidates have talked about taxes on the middle class being lowered. So that's something that Bill Clinton ran on in 92 as well. I mean, we're going to have to tax more of the people at the top. There's no question about it. We're going to have to get rid of the Bush tax cuts because we're in huge, tremendous debt from this unnecessary war and from the fact that the rich people, you know, got such a huge tax break under Bush. I mean, they're going to raise taxes on the super rich, you know, those that make over $200,000, $300,000 a year. But in terms of middle-class tax relief, I think that's something that the Democrats can get around.
Is that super rich to you? You're a lawyer.
Yes, it is. Because it's a very small percentage of it's a very small percentage of the American population.
Yeah, but not to 90% of the lawyers in D.C. It's not a lot of money. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, it doesn't matter. People often don't vote their economic interests. I'm more concerned about this country than
people
I am about taxes on the super rich. I do need to move on though, and I want to thank you for your call. Let me go to Dominic. Dominic, welcome to Dialogue. Or is that Dominic already? Excuse me. Let's go to Eric. Eric, welcome to Dialogue.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
You know, your last exchange is probably the reason why I'm in the same position as you. I need somebody to convince me who to vote for. But I've come to conclusion, I mean, I'm 44, and I've come to conclusion that they're all slimy, if you ask me, and they can't be trusted. Only one that seems to be speaking the truth, honestly, on the Democratic side is Dennis Kucinich. And you can just look at his record. He, you know, he does what he says he's going to do. And Ron Paul on the Republican side. I mean, I've been a registered Democrat my whole life, but as far as the leading candidates, I would have to go, I can't even mess with them as far as the Democratic Party. It would have to be Dennis Kucinich, if anybody. And I think the best thing that Americans can do, I mean, because this is a crapshoot if you ask me, you know, and I think if you do vote for any of the top Democratic candidates or Republican candidates, you just got to ask yourself, do you want to grease or ungrease? You know, because I think either way, they're going to let us have it. But if I had to vote for anybody at this point right now, I guess it would have to be Dennis Kucinich, only because he speaks the truth, and I think it seems like it's like the candidates that do speak the truth, they muffle them, you know, and really as far as Americans, I mean, this is like land of amnesia or something. I mean, I just can't believe it. It's like they'll believe a lie before they believe the truth, you know.
Well, I'll tell you this, one of the things I've been very upset by, and I've talked about on my show, is the failure to include Dennis Kucinich and Ron Paul in the debates at various points. I mean, it's one thing to throw away Mike Gravel. I mean, the man gets 0% in the polls and is basically crazy. But Dennis Kucinich is a serious candidate, as is Ron Paul, and they have to be included. I'll tell you this.
Thank you.
I think that Kucinich and Ron Paul are definitely purists in their views. I happen to be a lot closer to Dennis Kucinich than Ron Paul, although there are certain things about Ron Paul that I respect. You know, getting the government out of our private lives, I completely agree with. And some of his positions on drug issues, I think he's terrible on things like civil rights and other things. So I'm a lot closer to Kucinich than Paul. But here's the thing. When you have these purist candidates, these sort of, you know, like Kucinich and Paul, they tend to have supporters that are very loyal to them, but are still a very small percentage of their parties. And so what it means is that Kucinich, while I have a lot of respect for him, I'm concerned that a man like him couldn't win a general election. If I were a Ron Paul supporter, I'd be concerned that Ron Paul couldn't win
a
general election.
But I think that has a lot to do with the fact that – I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that has a lot to do with the fact that they won't allow their messages to get out. And everybody wants to be on a winning
team. Well, I think it's both.
Nobody wants to say, well, I voted for so-and-so and lost.
Well, you know,
even me, when I voted for Kerry last time.
Yeah.
And when I ride around to see W in 04 on people's bumper stickers, it has a tendency to bother me. I mean, I guess that's just American mindset. We all want to be on a winning team.
Well, that's true.
What we need to start doing is voting from our hearts.
Well, that's true. I'll tell you, it was funny because, you know, Hillary was ahead in New Hampshire. Then Barack Obama wins Iowa, and, oh, well, he's going to be the nominee. So, you know, he spikes up in the polls. We're gonna support him. I agree with you, particularly in the primary. You got to vote your heart. And that's fine by me. But my heart, if you will, is I want to see a Democrat elected. And as much as I like Dennis Kucinich, I'm concerned that he is less likely to win a general election than would be a Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama or John Edwards.
I think if you look at the reasons why, and that's because he can't get his message out.
Well,
I don't think it's because...
I hear what you're saying, Eric. I think it's two things. One, you're absolutely right that when you don't get on the debate stage, he can't get your message out. But, you know, he was part of the debates when they had eight and nine candidates on stage.
You know, even to get his points across. I mean, the camera stayed on. Even when someone else was talking, it seemed that the camera stayed on Barack and Hillary.
Well, there's a reason for that, right? I mean, the reason is because they had poll numbers in the 20 and 30%, and his numbers were in the single digits. And, I mean, the media is always going to focus on the person who's ahead. I don't think it's a conspiracy against Dennis Kucinich so much as it is a conspiracy against those that are behind. I mean, if anything, there was a conspiracy against Barack Obama because they said, well, Hillary Clinton's got it for sure. And then between the last 5 days, between Iowa and New Hampshire, there was a conspiracy against her because they were anointing him as the candidate. The media wants to jump and run and support the front runner, whoever it is. And one of the things I enjoyed most, no matter who you support in New Hampshire, whether you support Hillary Clinton or not, I loved the fact that the media got it all wrong. That they had egg on their faces.
Exactly.
They were anointing a candidate before the voters had voted. And I say it's all open. It will be open after Nevada and South Carolina. Super Tuesday is going to come around. And even then, I think it's going to be open long enough for those of us in this region, February 12th, to get our say. And that's just the way I like it, frankly, because I want everyone to get choice.
I'm glad that happened as far as the press being wrong, because to me, that showed me that Americans are actually waking up. And thanks for letting me speak.
I appreciate your call. Let's go to Richard. Richard, welcome to Dialogue.
Yeah, hello. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing good. Who do you support and why?
I support Kucinich. I support Kucinich because the way how he want to take on Medicare, the medical health care situation, which is true. The problem with the healthcare situation is the insurance company's 35% profit. I mean, plain and simple. You take away if you can take away their profit that the insurance people are getting, you can cover every man, woman, and child in the United States with no problem.
You're absolutely right. I'll tell you, all you have to do is look at Canada, look at England.
That's taking on a corporation. And for him to do that, I mean, he's going to, I'm praying that he can put balance back into the situation because there's no balance. That's the main problem. Though I don't feel Kucinich will win, but any Democratic person that does win the election, all I'm asking for is balance. Because right now, under the ring of Republicans, there's no balance to the American people. The balance had left.
I'll tell you this, Richard. If I had to look just at health care programs, I would vote for Kucinich because he supports a single-payer plan, full government-provided health care the way it is in Canada, the way it is in England, and he's gone the farthest of any of the Democratic candidates on that.
Yes.
But I'll tell you this. I think if you look at Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, John Edwards, and you look at their health care plans, they are all going in the direction of the Dennis Kucinich plan. Now, Dennis Kucinich goes the farthest. He does the best. I agree. But I'll tell you this. A lot of times change in America is made incrementally. I don't know that America, based on what Hillary tried, frankly, in 1994, I don't know that America would be ready to vote. I guarantee you the Republicans would filibuster immediate single-payer plan. If we can, even if we get Edwards or Obama or Hillary Clinton in power, and they start us on the road there, I have a hope that we can eventually get to the Dennis Kucinich level. So I think that progress can be made even if we don't go, and I agree with you, all the way to what Dennis Kucinich is supporting, because I think that is the best plan.
Well, America needs this, because once America has that, then no American can say no one to look out for, because if you're sick, there will be no excuses for no Americans to make it in this world. There'd be no excuses for Americans to finish school, go to college, or anything, because as an American, if you're sick, we'll cure you.
Yeah,
so that means everybody's equal, and there will be no excuses for no one.
I hear you. I've never understood the Republican view. If you got a six-year-old and she has leukemia, she has to die? That's the Republican view? What do they expect her to do, go and work for a living?
Nixon did invent HMO for them to make profit. If you ever listen to the Nixon tape, when they mentioned HMO, They said we can give less service and charge more money. Well, that is Republican view. The Republican view is business.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Give money to the rich. That is their view. That's how they look at it. And it's sad that it's like that.
Our health care is greater than any industrialized country on earth. And the reason is the insurance companies are skimming off the profits. They're a very, very powerful lobbying force. And whoever's president, and I guarantee a Republican won't take them on, but whoever
also,
is the Democratic
and also,
president.
And one more thing, though, again, because I don't want to take up too much time. But also Kucinich on the war situation. Kucinich let it plain, simply know that the reason we're in this war is because of the defense contractors. This
right.
is the only reason we're in this war. Clinton pacified the defense contractors when he was in office. Because they wanted Clinton to do the same thing that President Bush is doing. They wanted Clinton to do the exact same thing. The only difference was Clinton allowed the defense contractors to sell their wares to other countries, where Bush is actually going to war and still in Iraq, Sea of Oil, and everything else. And see, and also Kucinich talking about taking on that situation because the defense contractors are the reason why we're in this war.
Right, and even President Eisenhower, Republican, warned us about the military-industrial complex. Thanks for your call, Richard. I appreciate that. Let's go to Ted. Ted, welcome to Dialogue.
Thank you. Listen, I've been listening to the talk, and I also think that some of the argument is circular. I mean, Kucinich has 1% support basically because...
2% now. 2% in New Hampshire, at least.
Well,
go ahead.
He hasn't been bought like the others. I mean, by April of last year, the financial companies had given Hillary $26 million. And the legal industry, I forget how many million, and the insurance companies. But that was the same thing, and it's the initial, and it's the reason why that convoluted plan that she had for coverage of health care failed in the first place. She would not cut them out. She would not cut out their interest. She's going to make sure, as would everybody else, except for maybe Kucinich, that they're going to make some money because the financial interests are invested in the healthcare and insurance industries. The insurance industry are going to make sure that with all the money and support they're giving, that they're not going to do it. So they're not going to allow the newspapers or anybody else to let people hear Kucinich's message. And they're going to forget about Republicans. They're going to make sure Democrats and Republicans are both bought by them. And the only person who isn't is really Kucinich. And the only that's why I'm not excited by anybody in this election. And I think the only
well, you're excited by Kucinich. I assume you're going to vote for Kucinich for February 12th
because he's financially frozen out. The only thing that he can do, I think, is do something similar to somebody else in the past has done, start organizations, because you're not going to control these candidates with you're not going to control this thing. The American people do not control the government.
I'll tell you
big
something.
Money does,
big money does
so
control our government.
You have to do like Ralph Nader, start organizations and get publicity in some other way in order to get himself a to be a viable candidate.
Well,
otherwise,
well please don't do like Ralph Nader. That's the one. I mean, Ralph Nader, I do not forgive Ralph Nader for 2000. I think he's the reason, he and the Supreme Court are the reason why George Bush is president of the United States. Here's the thing. We have a system that needs to be changed. This way our system is, big money does control. You're absolutely right, Ted. Third parties don't work because the way our system is designed, you don't get to have a preference vote. You don't get to, except in Louisiana where you can have a runoff vote, if you vote for someone like a third-party candidate like Ralph Nader, you actually harm your own party, your own ideals. We need to get big money out of politics.
The only way to change that system is to do that. Harm your own party until they change.
Actually, no, I disagree. I think if you have your own party, you get more George Bushes in office. I think the way to do it is do it. If we get a Democratic president, okay, we can work to take money out of the system. Eventually, I'd love to see public financing of campaigns, and I think that the Democratic leaders, they're taking money because they have to. Because that's how you get your message out in America. It's wrong, but it's our system, and it's the only way they get their message out.
Okay, but the Republicans proved you wrong. They stuck by their guns, and they stuck by their narrow ideological things, and they came up winners. And I think
well, they came up winners because the Democratic vote was split.
People were afraid to do that with Kucinich people.
No, but they came up winners because the Democratic vote was split. Al Gore won the 2000 election. He got more votes than George W. Bush, not just in the nation, but in Florida, too. And then you had Ralph Nader skim off 2, 3% from Al Gore, so it was close enough that they could cheat and steal the rest of the election. You know,
if Al Gore lost to that clown...
He didn't lose. He won.
Well, if he didn't... still, if he made it even
close enough for them to cheat,
that says more about Al Gore than anybody else.
No, it says a lot about, frankly, people who voted. Look, you look at New Hampshire, which is the state that just had its primary.
Mm-hmm.
In New Hampshire, Al Gore lost by some 7,000 votes in 2000. Ralph Nader in New Hampshire, totally apart from the shenanigans in Florida, Ralph Nader got 23,000 votes. Now, if you're telling me that the people who voted for Ralph Nader didn't care whether Bush or Gore won and thinks that Bush would have done the exact same thing with regard to war and global warming and everything as Al Gore, then I have to tell you those Nader voters were smoking something.
But what I have to tell you is that more than 70% of the American people want a single-payer system. They can't get it with Democrats or Republicans.
I think that with Democrats, you're right. Kucinich would go farther, and he would go the farthest. But I think that incrementally, we will get to a single-payer plan with any of the Democrats, that we will do it step by step. They're going to start with children, and they're going to start then, you know, with employers. I think that step by step, as Americans see that, you know, the world doesn't fall apart when we cover all children's health care, we will get to that. You're right. Kucinich will get us there the quickest. But I think the other Democrats will also get us there piece by piece. I want to thank you for your call and move on to Alice. Alice, welcome to Dialogue.
Thank you. I do think you're not correct about a lot of your facts.
Okay.
Hillary's plan really did focus on insurance as a key component. And, in fact, she locked out any other options. And
changed her plan.
No, she would trash the single payer. And Citizens for Health finally worked with her to at least get her to stop trashing single payer. But she never attempted to make it an option. Also, Bill's record that Hillary is running on includes consolidation of the media in the 1996 Telecommunications Act, bombing Iraq unprovoked, and Madeleine Albright's disgrace when she was on 60 Minutes saying 45,000 deaths of Iraqi children a year as a result of the illegal Clinton sanctions was not too high of a price to pay. And these are Hillary's records that she is running on. And NAFTA, even if it's modified, the WTO, which Kucinich is the only one that talks about that, is an unaccountable, unelected body that has influence in NAFTA. And we really have to start protecting our manufacturing base. And Senator Dorgan's book is really outstanding on documenting how the government pays companies to move out of here and create jobs elsewhere. Obama has problems in energy. He supports nuclear energy. He supports cap and trade. And there are some wonderful reports that just came out. One is called Rosie Revisited, that document we have the technological capabilities with geothermal, photovoltaic, solar, some wind, plug-in automotive technology to not have to, in fact, rely on nuclear or coal. Just divert the subsidies, and we'll have the money to pay for these clean technologies.
How do you feel about John Edwards?
You know, I've heard people from North Carolina say that when he was in the Senate, he did nothing to stop the destruction of jobs that went from North Carolina out of the country. I think his message is great. I think his track record as a lawyer going after a lot of these corporate interests is very good, but he doesn't seem to have been able to translate that into his own actions in the Senate. I also want to make one comment about polls. Polls are an appropriation of the democratic process by the media, and they should not be used for any in any way to eliminate a candidate who's on a ballot and crowd out the message of the candidate.
And we've seen in New Hampshire, for example, how the polls could be dramatically wrong. So,
well, but even aside from that, any focus on a campaign should be strictly on the issues and the differences. And I think, again, Kucinich doesn't stand a chance because even prior to our invasion of Iraq, opposing voices were never aired. Fairness and accuracy in the media has documented that. Very, very rarely was an opposing voice heard. And even now, C-SPAN has done a great job on highlighting William Polk and his He's the co-author of Out of Iraq. He is a long-term diplomat. Kucinich has adapted his plan. Other defense strategists have said the same thing. You put a Marshall Plan in place, both in Afghanistan and Iraq, and you give everyone a share of the pie, and you'll have the same results that we had after the Second World War, where we put all of these opposing sides into an economic pie, provided the resources, and they worked out their own solutions and reclaimed their own governments. And I also think it's so hypocritical that no one really is pointing out for us to be provoking Iran and try and set up Iran and call Iran the most dangerous force in the world, when we actually have demonstrated how we have gone into a country unprovoked, totally destroyed that country.
Thank you, Alice, for your call and for your very persuasive support of Denis Kucinich for president. Let me go on to Molly. Molly, welcome to Dialogue.
Yeah, hi. Thank you. That was very interesting, and you know, everybody has some really interesting things, important information.
Who do
you know,
support,
the problem
Molly?
Is we have to vote for someone. You know, no one is perfect.
Right.
No one electable is perfect
right.
here. So we got to, you know, start from that point. And one aspect that I just wanted, I tend to agree with you that, you know, we need a Democrat in office, and then, you know, we need to work with that Democrat.
Right.
What else can we do?
Right, it's our only choice. You know, and then we can work to change the system, get money out of politics, you know, work to reform NAFTA.
Yeah, I mean, it's up to us.
But we have to have power.
Really, truly demand it.
Right.
You know, not sit back. But one thing that I'm concerned about is if we were, you know, I'm not for Hillary, but let's just say, you know, if Hillary got elected, one of the things that really concerns me about a person, a candidate like her, is that it's going to be the same kind of polarization. Even if she wins, she's going to win like 51-49, you know,
right.
that kind of thing. And
do you think Obama would win by a greater
does.
Margin?
You can't get anything done.
Well, let me ask you this: do you think Obama would win by a greater margin than Hillary
yes,
Clinton?
I really
well, that's
do
a strong reason to support him.
You know, I know he's not perfect and so on, but I also think that he's a person who he seems to be a person who could listen, who would listen.
Right.
You know, if you know, people really explain to him what's going on.
I'll tell you this. Let me say this about Hillary Clinton. If you can convince me, and I may be convinced, frankly, that Barack Obama can get a larger margin than Hillary Clinton, and he is drawing independents, and he may very well get my vote February 12th. So,
okay.
But Hillary Clinton, I can just tell you, having worked with her, and I did work with her when I worked in Congress, she will listen to a persuasive. Now she's very, very smart, and she wants to know all the details,
yeah.
but she will listen to a persuasive argument backed up by facts. I can just tell you that from my personal experience and so on.
Okay, but see, that's something else. The main thing that I'm concerned about, well, perhaps not the main thing, but it's a very important part, is that whoever gets into office, not only do we need a Democrat in office, we need a large majority.
We certainly do in
Congress.
Really
make things happen.
I'll tell you.
Because otherwise it's just going to be the same old thing.
You're absolutely right.
I want to say something else. It's not only strategic. I really feel that, you know, basically all of us, there are extremes on the left and right, but most of us are in the middle, okay? We all
right.
love our kids. We all want them to have health care. You know, the kid with leukemia is not a Democrat or a Republican.
Exactly.
It's an American kid.
Right.
You know, and we have to start thinking more in that way. That's what I like about Obama.
And that's what's very inspiring about Obama, is
yeah.
that he does talk about no red state or blue state. He does talk about America coming together. There's
yeah.
a reason why young people in this country are flocking to Barack Obama. And
yeah.
it's not because
and
of
I'm
the specifics.
I'm not a young person. No, older person. But
it's not because
I
of the specifics of his health care program.
I feel that there was an intentional desire to split us up. You know, divide and conquer.
Right.
And
I'll tell you something else about
each other, that we can't get together and do what's right.
I'll tell you something else about Barack Obama, is that if he were elected president And we have got to rebuild our international standing around the globe. I mean, America has gone from a champion of freedom around the world to someone who is seen as the worst perpetrator of violence around the world. And Barack Obama, as an African-American, I think, could go around and get that message across and perhaps do it best. Thank you for your call, Molly. We got time for one more call. Let's go to Ken. Welcome to Dialogue.
Hello. Yeah, I just wanted to say, just to kind of piggyback on the theme that you kind of, you know, expressed, is that we've got to basically, I mean, myself, I'm voting anti-Republican this time, and, you know, definitely we've got to have a change in course, and I think that's what you saw in Iowa, you know, like you were pointing out earlier, that, you know, a lot of the young people are flocking to Obama because I think he provides that vision of a new future that a lot of us want to see. I personally think it may be a vision that may be before its time, but I think it's something that we as a populace need to be engaged in. We need to be working toward. And I just don't see that with Hillary. I think the issue with Hillary is, to me, seems like a very established candidate. I mean, she seemed to be, you know, I just get the feeling that she's, you know, we're going to see some of the same of this, you know, neocon influenced, policy and governance. You know, which is the last thing we need. We need to go the other direction.
Ken, we got to wrap it up because our time's out. Let me just say this. I think that Hillary Clinton would bring back more of the same in terms of Bill Clinton. If you liked Bill Clinton as president, you'd probably like Hillary Clinton as president. She's far from a neocon, though I don't know that she'd go as far as Barack Obama. Barack Obama has a future. Even if Hillary Clinton wins this nomination, Barack Obama is set up to be running in, you know, 2012, 2016. I hope if she wins that she chooses him as the vice presidential nominee. Listen up, folks. February 12th is Election Day in the District of Columbia, Virginia, and Maryland. It's a week after Super Tuesday, and I'm going to be on air at 11 a.m. Wednesday morning following that. I want to hear next month who you voted for and why. If you want more information about what I do, my name is Mark Levine, and I host The Inside Scoop. More information is at RadioInsideScoop.com. That's RadioInsideScoop.com. Thank you, everyone, for a terrific show. This is Mark Levine signing off.
But you know what? He's going to hang up the phone and he's going to chuckle because he's going to know that you're going to be there every day listening to be outraged.
You're absolutely right. But, like, to me, like, the right wing, you know, again, they're willing to give, because they look at it as an investment.
Yeah. It's an investment in their ability. It's only a Thursday. Just another day to be embarrassed to be an American. That's right. George Bush did it to us again. Went out on the international stage and made us all look like idiots again. Gee, thanks, George. You're just the gift that keeps on giving, aren't you, buddy? Dear God. Yeah, we're going to start out with some audio. We'll start the evening with some audio from Georgie Goes to Bible Land.